So, some time ago, a friend of mine told me of a situation that was rather surprising to her. There was another woman who my friend didn't naturally get along with and had found this other woman rather unsupportive in the past. And she said, to her surprise, one day this other woman turned up at an activity my friend was organising and was engaged and supportive. And my friend said this was such a surprise and then said, but in another way, it probably shouldn't have been a surprise because just last week I forgave her for past events. Have you ever had an experience like that? I've had experiences like that where I've forgiven sometimes, and sometimes it seems the relational dynamic has just changed, and I've thought, Lord, was this all me? Does my attitude have this much of an impact? Is there a spiritual dynamic? And the conclusion I've come to is both. Our attitude and what's going on in our heart, the hurts that we're carrying, can have a huge impact. And the spiritual effect of forgiveness is real. And Jesus says that. His comments about binding and loosing on earth and the same happening in heaven are in the context of passages about forgiveness and judgment. Our topic today is forgiveness. And I thought we'd do our reading together because it's the Lord's Prayer. We're focusing on only part of it, but I thought it would be good to read together. Do you want to stand to read the Lord's Prayer? No? Yes, some are nodding. If you'd like to, let's stand. Let's stand. Here we go. From Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15, Jesus said, pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those... And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Please have a seat. I'm sorry for getting confused at the change of slide in the middle of that. So a few months ago, we've been going through the book of Matthew, and a few months ago, Steve King picked up the passage from Matthew 5 to 9 about prayer. So I've moved on to the Lord's Prayer, and today we're going to focus on the elements where Jesus talks about forgiveness. We might have another sermon on the rest of the Lord's Prayer, but I really felt we needed to talk about forgiveness today. This is challenging for us. Twice in this passage, once those first two lines, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And at the bottom, when Jesus summarizes, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Twice there is a link between receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness, between whether or not we forgive others and our Father's forgiveness of us. This is challenging. We affirm that we are saved by grace through faith. This is not a work. Forgiveness is not a way of achieving God's forgiveness. And we have to pay attention to Jesus' words because he says there's a link here. And we'll come back to that further on. The second reason forgiveness is a challenging topic is that it's a hard thing to do. If you've ever really needed to forgive someone, you would know that. It is hard. It is challenging. And it is often misunderstood. So to start today, I thought we'd talk about what forgiveness is not. Just to clarify, so we're on the same page of what we're talking about. First thing, it's not. Here we go. It is not ignoring or denying a problem. That's just ignoring or denying a problem. Avoiding it, leaving it be, burying it in the sand, avoiding the matter, and often it will fester in the dark. And we will carry those burdens, whether we know it or not. Those unattended wounds we carry, they can make us exhausted. They can have an effect on our body. They can have an effect on our immune system. They certainly have an effect on our character and on the spiritual dynamic that we live in. Unattended hurts have an impact. We can't ignore or deny them. Forgiveness is not forgetting, despite the common saying forgiving is and forgetting. Forgiving is not the same as forgetting, although when we forgive, it can change the nature of our memories in terms of changing the emotional impact or the emotional burden that they have for us. It can change the weight of the memory, but it's not the same as forgetting. Forgiveness is not excusing. Excusing is what you do if someone turns up a couple of minutes late. You say, it doesn't matter. Or someone just sort of bumps your supermarket trolley when you're getting your things in the supermarket. Doesn't matter. It's all right. You can excuse that and ignore it, say it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. Forgiveness does not say that. Forgiveness involves being honest. It's not excusing behaviour. Forgiveness is not justifying or explaining behaviour. Now, most of us, I believe, are taught a valuable skill of considering someone else's perspective and thinking, well, in the playground, maybe the other kid wanted a turn with the toy truck, or maybe it's not nice to throw sand because it hurts someone else. We consider someone else's perspective. That's a good skill. It's good to consider, well, maybe that person is under stress at the moment, or they're dealing with a grief. Or as we said recently, hurting people hurt people. It's helpful to bear that in mind. But that's still not the same as forgiving. And Jesus calls us to forgive. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation, although it's part of reconciliation. People often confuse these two. Reconciliation is when two or more parties are willing to come together and work through a situation. It may involve resolving it, or it may involve making decisions about the future, but it certainly involves listening, genuine listening, listening with an open heart and open mind, which takes courage and some trust, actually. It involves forgiving and apologising. And it involves thinking about what you might change. And everyone in a reconciliation process needs to be willing to listen, to apologise, to forgive, and to change. All of those are part of reconciliation. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation. We are reconciled to our Heavenly Father in Christ. This is good news. This is a powerful and amazing ministry that we are called to be part of. It is a wonderful thing. It's not our topic today. We're just looking at the part of forgiveness. My final point here, forgiveness is not trusting. Especially if something has been significant or ongoing, it may be quite unwise to continue to trust that person in the same way. Forgiving someone is not the same as trusting them. Trust is earned. It's given, but there's a reason for it. So I've got a list of six things out there. I'm going to pause briefly. Have you ever confused forgiveness with any of these? We've had a little bit of a look at what forgiveness is not. My next consideration is what unforgiveness is. And I'm going to read a poem by a poet called William Brutt Blake. He's an English poet. He lived quite a few centuries ago. His poetry draws heavily on the impact that the Bible and his faith had on him. And he wrote a poem called The Poison Tree. I'm going to read it to you now. And it is in your newsletter if you find it easier to read at the same time. The Poison Tree. I was angry with my friend. I told my wrath did end. I was angry with my foe. I told it not, my wrath did grow. And I watered it in fears, night and morning with my tears. And I sunned it with smiles, with soft, deceitful wiles. And it grew, both night and day, till it bore an apple bright. And my foe beheld it shine, and he knew that it was mine. And into my garden he stole, when the night had veiled the pole. In the morning, glad I see my foe outstretched beneath the tree. It's a powerful poem, and it's a powerful description of unforgiveness, of not being willing to work something through with an enemy and nurturing with his tears, with his hurts, and with his plots and plans and his thoughts of the future, nurturing a poison tree. I think Blake describes that incredibly well, but there's a point I think he gets wrong. Because he thinks that the enemy is going to come and take the poisoned apple. That may be the secret hope of growing a poison tree, but it doesn't happen. The enemy doesn't come and take the poison apple. If you grow a poison tree inside you, all you have is a poison tree growing inside you. It's like drinking poison and thinking that someone else is going to suffer. Unforgiveness is a poison tree growing inside of me. A stark warning here. You do not want a poison tree growing inside you. We've talked about what forgiveness is not, what unforgiveness is. Let's have a look at forgiveness. I'm going to briefly summarize Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant, because there are other places in Scripture where Jesus draws this link between God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of others. In the parable, Jesus says there is a man who owes an extraordinary amount of money. And if we read the passage and work it out in today's term, it is a ludicrous amount of money. Unbelievable how anyone could get in that much debt in a lifetime. The man is about to be thrown into prison and in fact sold into slavery and his entire family as well. He pleads with the master, and the master is merciful and forgives this enormous debt. Then, as the man is walking away, he sees someone who owes him money. And it's a significant amount, but tiny in comparison. And he pulls that person up and insists that the person pays. And then Jesus said the master found out and threw the man into prison after all. The man had not been transformed by the forgiveness that he had received. He had not been transformed by that mercy. It hadn't really affected him. Forgiveness is not negotiable for those who have received God's forgiveness. If we receive God's forgiveness, it's not negotiable. We need to be passing it on. So some of the things that forgiveness involves It takes honesty and courage. We need to be honest about the situation. Before the Lord, we are honest about the impact on us. And there are times when it is important to say that before the Lord, Lord, this has had this impact on me, and know that Jesus hears you, that he saw and he sees the truth. There's no avoiding and denying and excusing here. We need to be honest before the Lord. The second thing we need is prayer and discernment. We need to ask the Lord for clarity. What is it that I need to bring before you here? What is going on in my heart, Lord? What is the situation? What do I need to forgive? Are there bits that I'm skipping over and avoiding looking at? What do I need to bring to you? Prayer for discernment and prayer for help. Because this is hard, and we don't do it on our own. One of the things that I found very helpful as a young adult was hearing someone describe a process. And she said her first prayer was, Lord, that thing called forgiveness, give me the courage to consider it. Starting a long way away. Praying that regularly. Lord, give me the courage to face this issue of forgiveness where I need to forgive. And then praying regularly. Lord, help me to make that choice and engage with that process of forgiveness. Praying that regularly. And then praying, Lord, I choose to forgive this person or these people or this organization. I choose to forgive. I place it in your hands. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is patient with us, but remember the Lord is not tolerant of us. The Lord is not tolerant, of sin. The Lord loves us. The Lord is not tolerant of sin, and the Lord is not tolerant of unforgiveness. But the Lord is gracious and patient. So we can undergo a process of praying and seeking to come closer to forgiveness. And we need to make a choice to forgive. It doesn't start with a feeling of feeling warm and sunshine and roses towards this person, usually. It starts with an act of the will. Often repeatedly, I think it is valuable to say this out loud, because it is easy to hedge our bets. Or hedge around the situation, say, yes, Lord, oh, yes, thank you for prompting me. Yes, I know I need to forgive that person. Yes, thank you for that, and I know you're gracious to me. And did we actually forgive the person in that process? No, we skipped right over it. So saying it out loud can help clarify that for us. And again, those words I said, and I'll say a little bit more explicitly, it might sound something like this. Lord, I choose to forgive this person for the impact this has had on me. I place into your hands my desire for revenge, any desire for revenge, any desire that they would look bad, any desire for that on my part, Lord. I place into your hands my right to judge and my desire to judge this person. You, Lord, are the only just judge. I place judgment in your hands. I relinquish this situation to you. I rely on your judgment. And Lord Jesus, in the power of your resurrection, make this choice real in me. You, sovereign Lord, you were raised from the dead, the power that raised you from the dead. Bring about forgiveness in me. The final thing we need in forgiving, well, is the list that I've got today, is the power of God. And you heard it at the end of that prayer. We don't manage this on our own. When we're really carrying a hurt, it is not easy. And Jesus has done this for us. And if you're feeling overwhelmed by the fact that it's not easy, do notice the lengths that God went to forgive us and bring forgiveness to us. God knows that it's not easy. It's a challenging thing. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. And God can accomplish this in us as we choose to work with him. I have a couple of notes here. One is, if you really need to forgive something that has had a very significant impact on you, I recommend finding trusted other people to journey with you in this. As you face that situation, as you work through it, other people to hear you, be alongside you, and support you, and support you in prayer. Second note I want to bring are just some warning signs that unforgiveness may be present, because we can get in a habit of skipping over something. Some warning signs that we need to forgive. Some are obvious. A desire for revenge, resentment, a desire that this person would look bad or other people would just find out what they're really like. Those are more obvious. We might have persistent negative thoughts or memories of that situation or of the person. We might find ourselves frequently thinking negatively towards that person or dialogue that we would like to say to them that's negative. We might have a pattern of behaviour that becomes critical or judgmental or reactionary, sometimes inexplicably reactionary to certain situations. Some clues that unforgiveness is there and we have something we need to work on. Remember the phrase, "Unforgiveness is a poison tree growing inside of me." My third note is there's a contemporary song with a phrase, "I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross." In this age, certainly, I don't know about the age to come, I don't know if we'll be able to comprehend it then, but certainly in this age, we're not capable of comprehending the magnitude of love and the lengths that our Heavenly Father went to bring forgiveness to us. Forgiveness is costly, and Jesus has paid that cost. He has made it possible for us. Jesus loves you. He is with you. He is for you. He likes you. He has forgiven you. Receive his forgiveness. And receive his empowering to forgive. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and acknowledge that this is challenging for us, but we see on the cross that forgiveness is costly. And we know, Lord God, that you paid this price for us. As with the parable of the unforgiving servant, you have forgiven more than we know. And we are grateful, Lord, and we receive your forgiveness. And Lord, today I want to create space in this time of prayer, of quiet reflection, for you to speak to us by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come, prompt us where we need to forgive. Bring to our attention hurts, things that we've buried or things we're not attending to or things that we still need to forgive again, Lord. Bring them to our attention now. Come, Holy Spirit, provide your power. And if you would like to pray with me in the quiet of your mind, I will say a prayer bringing my situations to the Lord, or a particular situation on my mind to the Lord, and you can join with me quietly. Father God, I have harboured ill feeling towards this person. And I have judged them in my heart. I am sorry. I choose to forgive this person for the things they have done and the impact it has had on me. I relinquish to you any desire for revenge, any desire that they would be showing up or look bad, or that other people would come to know the things that I feel I've seen. I relinquish you to you, Lord, any right I have to judge this person, and I place judgment in your hands because you are the only just judge. I place the whole of this situation in your hands. And Lord Jesus, on my own I am weak. I ask your strength, that the power that raised you from the dead, the power of the resurrection, would be at work in me, bringing restored life, bringing forgiveness, opening the pathway even for reconciliation. May your power be at work in me by your Spirit, making my choice real. In my spirit, my mind, my body, my soul, my emotions, my thoughts, my attitudes. Lord Jesus, be Lord of me. And Lord Jesus, grant freedom. Freedom and healing from the effects of the past. Lord Jesus, we place these things in your hands. Amen. I do want to say to you again those final words that I said. Your Lord loves you. He sees you. He is with you. He is for you. He likes you. And he has forgiven you. Receive his grace and his empowerment.